You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to, of course, another episode of Double Tap. This is, of course, the Mash Those Buttons podcast dedicated to the one and only FGC. And unfortunately, we do not have Crash Tag with us this week. He is far, far away, KO'd, whatever you want to call it. And of course, for podcast 2211, wow, I almost said 2011. That's crazy. I am, of course, your main host, Jeremiah Mezzaward. And I'm, of course, here with Gabriel Static Gorilla Medina.
Jeez, with the intros of intros. I haven't heard that one in a while.
Yeah,
no, what's up with you? You were MIA for a little bit. You were KO'd. Now you're KOing the KOer.
I got trapped by work.
Yes. Oh, you're like me.
Yeah, I know. It was like how you, like, I don't know what it is. It's just like work because you're work from home where you're like starting a new job. Everything's all crazy. But I am here. I'm here.
Blessed that it wasn't like two of us, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And that we're able to carry on. So, you know, it's always a pleasure to bring the news and content to our very loyal. I was going to say local, but no, we're all around the world. Local listeners. And yes, this is episode 211 instead of 2011. Mezzo is really feeling my brain Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom release date.
My brain was flying into the future of like our podcast, but like back in time for gaming. That's all I see nowadays is old school games. But guys, thank you very much for tuning in and listening. I hope that you guys are excited for a good podcast today. And don't forget, I know, right? It's crazy. Don't forget, we're unfortunately not going to be live for this episode. Yeah. So don't go looking for that. But one thing I will say is, guys, don't forget to, of course, review, comment, and share your tweets with us, because we always love when you guys do that. And we'll, of course, plug the social media towards the end of the episode. But let's jump into the Fighter's Corner. We talk about all the new updates and fun hot stuff. And so we're going to...
Let's just kick it off with breathing in Showappa, you know? Or what else did you say? Koken! Anyway, that's King of Fighters 15. Yuri, what is her last name? I didn't pronounce it.
Right. Sakazaki? Sakazaki, yeah. We'll go with that. How do you feel about Yuri as a character? Because I don't know how much you like KOF.
All right, so as a kid... Like,
this character.
As a kid, I was trying to look for anything... Like, I was just expanding in, like, CVS1, like with all these characters, and I was like trying to look for like the most simple. So Yuri was definitely the one of the simplest, because she had a fireball, she had a uppercut. So I was like, yo, she's kind of cool. Like, I always looked for that low tier hero when I was a kid. So like I looked for basically Ryu and Ken clones, Sakura clones, whatever, and she was it. So, you know, like, that's all I remember. But lately in the games, she's been a little bit more difficult because she doesn't have, like, the range. But, man, she looks like the other couple games that she's been in. That's all I gotta say. Like, I'm not surprised. However, I don't... All right, from a cosmetic view, I don't like her hair.
I don't disagree. I 100% don't disagree. I mean, it's that new style. It's using the SNK's... engine that they used for Samurai Showdown, so it's gonna be a little weird. And I had the same feeling with when Sakura came out for Street Fighter V. I was like, I don't really like the way the design of the character looks. But I mean, this is always how Yuri is. I feel like her hair is not long enough. It should be a little bit longer because of the ponytail is a little bit more visual. It's just weird. It looks like some parts are cut short. But she does have her dive kick. She does have a lot of the iconic moves. I didn't see the demon flip, which is interesting. So I don't know if she still has that. Usually she'll do stand leg kick or left kick into demon flip. But she has all the other classic moves. And it seems like now she has out of her, I guess it's like her EX, I guess it's an EX command grab. She does like the slaps, but she now like flips into like does kind of like the Sakura style of things. So I'm curious if that's like, you can choose it or not. But yeah, no, overall, she looks good. I'm I've always been a big fan of Yuri. Mm-hmm. She's kind of always made it somehow into either my teams for KOF or CVS2 or anything like that. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I still need to see the mechanics of KOF 15. It's suspect, but I think this is going to be a good game. I like her ending pose. I think that everything looks better than 14 did. It doesn't look as stiff. It just looks better. And I keep getting impressed by the backgrounds, no matter how many times I try not to.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to get impressed.
You know, I just turned my... I'm flexing a little bit here. I just turned my monitor and the video to 4K. I didn't know these videos were in 4K because, I mean, I'm not that crazy about it. But, yo, the backgrounds are really deep. There's a lot of depth going on. Shout outs to KOF and their graphics. It said we're not making the same, you know, 14. So I'm just thinking, what I'm tired of seeing with this game lately is that they're just bits and pieces that are not really showing gameplay. Like, I'm not worried or not concerned about the gameplay either.
But you do want to see something. Like, you don't want to see just character trailers every so often. You want some more updates with the mechanics. Like, maybe they just don't know what they're doing with the mechanics yet. They haven't given us a release date. So, can we really be confused with the mechanics? I mean, like, I feel like there's this fleshed out game here, and I feel like we're just gonna get 14 all over again.
Yeah, I would like a showcase. Is this some sort of showcase? I don't know. That are there any other game shows happening or sort of like New Game Plus that just happened? Are there any other expos that are happening, like online expos soon?
So I think there's some Japanese ones or at least some Asia ones, but I haven't really heard anytime soon, because like, what, it's now March.
Yep.
Yeah, we're not gonna probably get anything until maybe June, July. That's usually when all the expos start popping up a little bit more, because that's the summertime. I know what was the one that got canceled? I don't think it's around anymore. What they used to do in West Coast, it used to be like for PAX. All games. Yeah, no, not PAX. PAX West, I don't even think happened this year.
No, not even online.
So,
PAX, I don't know if we're even there's also Emerald City Comic Con that was happening, and I don't know.
Like, I know we got stuff. Anime Expo, but we didn't. Yeah. Like, there was some games that went under the radar that still aren't even out.
Yeah.
That, like, trust me, there's so much that's just not being revealed because we don't have conventions or any expos. So, I don't know. KOF 15, I think we just have to kind of wait for them to kind of keep dropping more information. Kind of like how Guilty Gear did. Kind of like how Street Fighter 5 did theirs. You know, even though they had a big event, I don't know when we're going to get a big event.
Yeah.
Big enough to do this. Like, DreamHack, which we'll get to later, might be an option. But I think we're probably going to have to wait until some other stuff we're going to talk about later, which is like CEO and whatnot. If they do theirs, we might be seeing more showcase stuff there. There's just a lot of events that are trying to happen, but I don't know if it's going to. So I think now KOF 15 is on hold for extra information, because maybe they want to come out when things are a little closer to offline, maybe next year.
Yeah.
But okay. Hey, you know, we don't know. Well, we don't know for now.
Other than that, I mean, there hasn't, the only design change is really her hair. I mean, it's okay. I think the outfit, you can tell, oh, hey, that's that girl that throws fireballs, and she's like Dan without a tatsu. and she steps on people's faces. Cool. She did a little pose at the end, you know, sort of the yo-yos type of thing. And no, it looks kind of cool. I thought the animation on the super at the end looked a little janky, but, you know, I'm not an animator. So,
I did spot one thing.
Yes? Okay, go ahead. Spot away.
Before you say that, I did spot one thing after she does her, she does like a regular normal into an EX where she can reflect, but it's like the little like wall fireball thing in the air that she does.
The yoga
like
blast type thing? Or
it's where she like holds the shield out, the fire shield or whatever.
Yeah.
I always forget what the name of that move is because she doesn't have it in every game. But she does that and it pops them up in the air, which it's never really done where she can do more. But now she can EX into the Zuna drop, which is usually her air throw. So that's pretty cool. I like that they add that additional thing. But it puts her really far away, so I don't know if I like that.
And not just that, she did two EX moves. So that was the EX up ball. So I call it yoga blast because that's, you know, up yoga fire. Yoga blast into... Wait, did it do an edit, though, in that cut that you were talking about?
Nope. No edit.
Okay, it wasn't an edit. Sure. All right. Maybe no, it was just the way the camera chases after doing the move. That's weird.
Oh, it did actually. Hold on. Yeah.
I don't know if it was an edit or if it just chased after the move. So that was weird.
That was weird.
Yeah. That's a little... So if you... No, okay. No, no, no. Well, it's okay. It does it right.
It's it, I'm but putting it, it just... It so just for looks those, weird.
I mean, for everyone who's listening, because nobody's watching, at about 50 in Yuri's trailer, you can see what we're talking about. You know, she... No, it's a camera movement. The camera gets all janky in the air.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. Up. I hope they fix that. Like, I mean, it's still early development, but, like, I do hope they fix that, because that looks really awkward. And one thing I'm noticing is all Yuri's moves make her go far away. Which is just weird because she's a set play character usually with some decent neutral buttons. Yeah.
But that's the thing. She's not known for her range. Never has been, I would say. So that's she's always been, and she's also like a tiny character. So with that being said, I mean, you can go in a couple directions from here. Like when we're talking about other characters expected to be in the game. I mean, they're going to shatter all our expectations, but you're probably going to get Ryo with her in the picture now. And people were expecting to get Terry because Terry's birthday was apparently yesterday on the 14th or something. Who knows? But people were expecting Terry this weekend. I don't think so. I think we're going to wait for it on Thursday to get some other announcement like we have been every week. So I'm expecting Ryo or Terry. But hey, shatter all expectations, right?
Good luck with that. They haven't shown me any new characters or anything yet that says like...
Only new one. I mean, they don't have a new character, but I mean, you've got the one that's with Kyo and Yuri that's in there. Who else? We've got Benamaru and Sleepy Guy and Super Demon Hand Guy with the headphones. I'm sorry, I don't know their names.
Junie and Mateko.
Thank you. Yes, that's exactly what you said. And we have those two teams. We have Joe Hisaki and we have Andy Bogard. Soon to be Terry, and we have Yuri. So, we obviously are going to... We do know that Mai is going to be in the game. We saw her in the trailer. We saw Leona in the initial trailer. So, all right. My expectations still haven't been shattered, though. I still haven't been jaw-dropped from the game. So, other than the actual like art or the
cosmetics, I mean, it's a slow looking process, good. Right? We're going to get to the point where we're going to see the UI. That's what I'm more like concerned with is like the menu, the UI, how efficient it is. Like, can we get like some 2002 efficiency?
Yeah, give me a good announcer.
Yeah, that would be kind of nice. Like, but
something hype, not fight. Just something. I don't know. As long as it's not as annoying as the Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom announcer. Anyway, Sam Show, did you get to try that? I know we talked about don't play Sam last week.
I'm sorry. Show? I'm going to tell this is for all the viewers too and the listeners in the future. Guys, I don't like Sam Show. I will never like the game. I think it's cool, but I'm the last person to try it. Yeah. I'll look at it.
You know,
so
I meant
game's
to,
gonna
I
your, be your end man.
So last week I did say I was going to try Sam Show and Granblue because they both recently had patches. I unfortunately did not my mistake. I was, I have no excuse. So there's that. Yeah. But, you know, you got to check out the patches. I think Sam Show had a couple things that we talked about last week. And Granblue, well, I haven't played since I think before Cagliostro.
Okay.
So, yeah. So it's going to just get caught up. Yeah.
I mean, I usually like check it out here and there.
I mean, you live with a top 32 Sam Show player, so you should be playing that game. But he stopped playing anyway.
Yeah, let's leave it at that. I tried to convince him to get back into that. He's in a Guilty Gear now, so I guess that's a step
who
up,
is
you know?
It, man? I don't even want to play Reload because I'm so hyped for Guilty Gear. I'm sorry, Reload/ or Accent Core, whatever it's called.
Plus R. There you go.
Amen.
I got you.
Skullgirls, what do you got for me, sir?
Yeah, I've gotten to dive pretty deep into Skullgirls. I know I wasn't here for, you know, bringing it up when you guys probably brought up Annie. But first off, I believe it's 3 or 4 new characters are coming out still. No,
there
no information.
Is Annie
on that.
With 3 extra characters. Yes, that was a season pass.
Keep in mind, so I got to play a lot of Annie. I spent maybe about an hour and a half running through Annie with Oreo, the wolf. Mm-hmm.
Yes. a previous guest. Go check out that episode.
Yeah. Expect to see her on the show again. Trust me. There's some information I got for you guys. I can't really throw too much your way yet. But Thins Fighting Herds, I got some info. Or I got some down low info. We're going to have her come on the show herself and explain some of that stuff. But yeah, Skullgirls. Annie is kind of dumb. Like, this character doesn't play by any of the rules of what everybody else plays. So if you like characters who could just kind of hit you from anywhere and start something, that's this character.
Who would you compare her to? And not in the game, but like maybe to other games.
Okay. It's going to be a mixture of characters.
Mm-hmm. Is she best as a singular, double, or a triple?
I think she works best as a double.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she is very strong as a solo.
Okay.
Sonic Fox has definitely put out a lot of content where he's playing, where they're Sonic Fox is playing Annie as a solo character against Swift Fox, many other people, Kill Sage, etc., etc. And the way Sonic Fox plays is so interesting that you wouldn't expect it to work, but it does.
Right.
And Annie does so much damage.
Okay.
She literally can, almost one reset and you're probably going to die if you have two or three characters.
I remember Cerebella being a problem solo before.
Yeah. It's kind of going back to that.
This is back in like 2012, 13.
Yeah.
Peacock wasn't really a solo, but the keep away. And I can't even imagine what doubles like now. I liked the game when I was playing it. I always wanted to try out Pain Wheel just because she looked dope. But I don't know what she's like now. I did when the game was out for like $2 last year, I gave it a try at the start of the pandemic. But I don't have confidence in the game right now, like in myself in the game.
I will say the biggest part about the game is understanding the mechanics of the game. The moment I learned and understood the mechanics of the game, it made comboing way easier. It's just like Marvel. Once you understand the concept of how to combo in the game or even Power Rangers, it makes it way easier to play the game. Because then your neutral is already there. But this game is very, at least with Annie, she's very neutral heavy. She's very mix-up heavy. She kind of has every tool you can ask for a character, which makes no sense in this game. Because somebody's usually always missing something. And from what I've noticed, Annie has at least 5 supers.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. 5 supers. Let's just say, and you asked me earlier, what character I would compare her to. I would say she is Dante meets Virgil, aka Roundtrip, as a super, meets Phoenix, because the install, every time she swings, she makes stars pop out of her weapon that go different places. And I'm not talking about like one star pops out. I'm talking about multiple stars. Okay. So what ends up happening is multiple stars come out. It hits you like Phoenix. It could trade and give her even a combo. There's just a lot of bonky stuff. And the best part is it drains her meter, but she can just burst out of it. So now she has meter and she just comboed you for half your life. And she's out of her install and she's not draining more meter. And she's probably one of the best characters for comboing super into super, into super, into super, into super. Yeah. Oh yeah, and she has a level 5. So that's like 6 supers.
So she's a Dragon Ball player.
Yeah, ultimately she does whatever she wants.
So, wow. Well, and going back to real quick, slightly off topic, you were stating the combo system is, you know, once you get the mechanics of the combo system, such as like what you said, Power Rangers. So I have to be a little bit honest. I cannot. Now, it's not that I can't stand, but long combos like that, Marvel, it's already an almost 10-year-old game. Okay, fine. And granted, some people they understand the combo system, you can understand what's going on, but the combos are pretty long, but I guess because I'm so well-versed in it, I already know, you know, what resets the ground bounce, how many ground bounces, how many wall bounces, all of that.
Yep.
When it comes to Power Rangers, and maybe even Skullgirls, or even, you know, combo looping type games like that, where there's like not a loop, but those are loops. Okay. That sort of frustrates me, because then I'm like, yeah, I think I'm finding something. And then I see what somebody actually does. And not just to make it longer, but a different route. I guess sort of like, I just spent like a whole hour working on that combo. And now it frustrates me that somebody else is getting higher damage with lower effort into doing something totally different. That frustrates me so much when it comes to practicing a new character. Whereas in like, maybe I'm just lazy, like Street Fighter 4 or Street Fighter 5, where I'm just like, all right, I'm going to be satisfied with this neutral and combo base that I have. Maybe that's what also attracted me to Sam Show as well, where it's not a combo heavy game.
You know, yeah, that's a big thing. A lot of people like that. And I'll say this for your information.
Yes. FY me.
Every character in Skullgirls is like doing trigonometry, reading a history book.
Wait.
And then remembering everything in the history book while doing the trigonometry at the same time.
Are you saying you co-signed this? Sorry, that's it. Are you saying that you co-signed this?
I am saying I don't play the game hyper-competitively for a reason. Same as a lot of other players don't. Literally, there is every situation you hit somebody with one button, you need to know that you can't use that button X more amount of times. That is how it works. So if you hit them with light medium, guess what? Yeah. You better remember that you hit them with light medium to start, because it's mainly the light that's the starter. And then it gets even more wonky because it doesn't count when you launch them. It's so wild.
Sort of Eunice, where you can't repeat certain moves or they'll jump out of the move, I guess. I mean,
at least with Eunice, at least you know that the hit stun's there, right? You hit stun and it'll show you how much. Same with Skullgirls, it'll show you.
Yeah.
But in Eunice, it doesn't have a burst feature where you get to certain points where you redo a combo, it bursts them. It just texts them in another game.
Yeah.
This game, you have bursting, there's so many things to the mechanics. And this is why I say, like, I still feel like I need a crash course. Even after I had a crash course we spent an hour playing this game, hour and a half playing this game, another half an hour to 45 minutes, almost an hour, crash coursing it. And it still felt like we didn't know what we were doing. It makes it harder because Annie is a very confusing character, because her routes aren't the same as other people, where you could do like light, crouch medium, kick, heavy punch. She can only go into either light punch. Like, let's say you do medium punch, right? With other characters, you can go into crouching heavy kick. She can't do that.
Right.
She can either do stand medium punch, crouch medium punch, stand heavy punch, crouch heavy punch. I'm going to do that. No, go to like light medium, like crouch medium kick. It just doesn't happen.
Well, so, all right. I mean,
she's a very specific type of character, and you just need to know what you're doing. I think she's for advanced players. I don't think, or at least intermediate to advanced players. I don't think a new player should be picking her up. I think if somebody who's had experience should, but if you're like brand new to Skullgirls, like, she's a cool character to learn, but I think she's very awkward compared to the rest of the cast, just kind of how like Double is. I don't know. It's something that people have to really sit down and see if that's what they want to play. I just don't want it to deter people. That's all.
All right. Well, that's out there right now. Go check out Skullgirls Season Pass, and you will have the star, any of the stars. All right. So, real quick Tekken news. So, I don't know if you, I don't think you were on the show, but myself and Dre, we were betting on the name of the new character from Tekken 7.
Okay, you bet on the name. You guys.
Well, we didn't really like bet, but we were just we said on the show, man, we were checking out like popular Polish names for the Prime Minister of Republic of Poland, who's going to be the newest character of the game. And her name is been revealed. It is Lidia Sobieska.
Did you guys guess that?
I don't remember if he said Lydia, but I bet Maria, and I was very close. Like, he even looked up like top Polish names, and he said he brought up like a couple, and I don't think Lydia was one of them.
I mean, it's a very it's a very uncommon name just in general for Americans to hear. So I don't think I would have guessed that. Even if I was looking them up, I wouldn't have been like, definitely a Lydia. No, but like it's cool. I like that they're one thing I love that Tekken 7 does, or rather Bandai Namco or Namco does with Tekken, is they continuously keep updating us with characters that are very unique.
Yep.
That are different and that original. Are brand new. Yeah, that's the most beautiful thing. I kind of harp on other games, such as like Street Fighter V, Soul Calibur. You know, I kind of look at those games as games that are good. They have iconic characters, but I need new characters. If you want to have a longevity of a game, look at Smash. Smash always brings out something new for us. A lot of these other games aren't doing that, and I think that's what hurts them a little bit, because they rely on those old characters to kind of keep driving the game, and I don't think that's the way to do it.
Okay. Well, No, but by the way, if you wanted to check out the name, I found it under Rip's tweet. He tweeted out the Prime Minister, Republic of Poland, Polski Karate Potega. Yeah, massive shout out to, he sent a shout out to BNE for sending over a care package revealing the DLC character's name and fighting style. Hoodie and mask are too sweet, he says. Excited to see the full character trailer soon. So yeah, it seems like he got a care package. Obviously, I just read that out. From the character. So yeah, looks kind of cool, the whole care package that he got. Man,
can we get a care package?
Right,
we'll love that.
So other than that, yeah, so we're looking out for that. That looks really cool for you know, a brand new character in Tekken. However, we got brand new outfits for Street Fighter 5. Now, we've been talking and seeing these outfits for a while. Meza, you sent this over, and the outfits are looking quite dapper for Miss Juri Han.
Yeah, remember, I mean,
these are go ahead.
I was just gonna say, yeah, I mean, honestly, like when we saw the art design, it was really good, but this is like now fully in game. I'm really digging the Bison one. I'm a Juri player who's
so is Dre
about going to, huh?
And Dre is now too.
Oh, he's now he gave up on Lucia. Yeah. No more Lucia. I mean, Juri got a lot of cool buffs this season, so it's really good. Her outfits are buffed now, too, as well. I think this is just cool that we finally got this. I would like to see more of these happen. I just don't understand why we're not getting more. But hey, at least we're getting this March 18th, which is right around the corner. It's going to be 2 days after this episode releases. So you'll be able to get your, you know, your Juri hotness for the year, for the Street Fighter year. I don't think she's getting any more costumes after this, especially if we do another if they do another contest. But I particularly like the Bison one the most. I think that's it's really dope. It's like a pirate Bison theme. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, there's just a lot of there's gonna be. I wonder what the, first off. Okay, let me stop. I'm going everywhere. I wonder what the outfits are going to sort of like the alternates are going to be when you push like certain buttons. However, that first one has like a tremendous amount of undercarriage going on. If you catch my side
drift. Is that legal? Is that going to be legal for us? Like, well, we're not ESPN anymore. So
Right. So, I mean, Mika has a lot of undercarriage happening. Now, undercarriage sounds like underbutt. So underboob is what I'll say.
Like, you could say any other word.
Yeah. What I really like, actually, in the first Juri outfit, the tube top one, is the design on the jacket. By the way, she also looks like a member of, like, team. What was the team? The weird team in Pokemon. Team Poison, I think it is. In the latest Pokemon game, Sword and Shield? Yeah, that's what she reminds me of. A person from Team Poison. And the Bison one, yeah, I'm liking it. They are quite quite cute, in the words of... I don't know who says that, but everybody does. Yeah, I'm digging it. I'm gonna sneeze, so excuse me for a second.
Yeah, so overall, I think the costume was a really good pickup for them for the contest. I personally... would like to see this. Like I said, I would like to see this contest happen again, probably sooner than later. Juri should definitely be X'd out of the contest because she can have costumes for days. I would like to see maybe a costume for not Chun-Li, not Juri right now.
Yeah, it makes me think that they just
someone that's a little uncommon.
Well, it makes me think they just picked him out of a hat because, I mean, again, despite me loving the crap out of that Guile one, I still think that it shouldn't have been even picked. There were plenty of others that were submitted that did look like they were really good contenders, especially ones that had full costume designs and all of the colors added in, and so much work went into those. So I don't know. I think it'd be best to maybe add more concepts. I mean, maybe Capcom took some of those concepts and are going to put them in a future game. Who knows? But still, by the way, still no inclination of the fifth character. No clues. I mean, Ono-san would be like crazy with clues, by the way. But this jewelry costume will be available on the 18th. That is 3 days from today. What is that? Thursday, March 18th?
Yep.
Yeah. So, looking dope. Check it out if you're into jewelry. I mean, or not, you know, just have it there so your friends can play jewelry. Socially distanced, by the way. Okay. So, that is, yeah, you were saying, my bad.
Yeah, I was just going to say, keep in mind, guys, this show is going to be a little short because there isn't really much content out right now. There's been a lot of, like, drop before this. This is kind of like the period of waiting now. Like, it's online, you know? We don't have tournaments in between, so it's kind of rough. But, yeah, we're going to jump into the randoms of the FGC. You know, what's around the water cooler, you know, some things that we may not pertain to fighting games, but maybe close enough, or that it's just random in the fighting games community. Starting off with,
speaking of randoms.
Yeah. See ya.
Yeah, all right. I glanced at it because it was all over my Twitter feed. And... All right, let me see the TLDR now that I'm here. So TLDR, no, I'm kidding. If you want to bring us up to speed on what's happening with CEO. Okay.
So as you guys know, Alex Jabaley, he runs CEO. He does CEO Taku as well, which that's for the anime players. And then, of course, we have the regular CEO, which is for all the games. So you get the best of both worlds. He came out with an official statement, and I'll kind of give you guys like bits and pieces of it the best I can without, like, you know, taking away from the true meaning of what he's saying. So he did state that, you know, I'm planning to record an official CEO June in Daytona. It's not happening video. He's kind of been unsure about that. He didn't know how to go about doing that without, like, I guess affecting everybody's feelings and making himself look bad. But I don't think he can make anybody look bad. He's trying to do the right thing by the community. So that's really nice. He did state that Daytona has been amazing, and they were able to add on another year to make up for the lost revenue that they had this year. So CEO is definitely safe in that regard. And we can look forward to CEO hopefully being offline next year.
Let me just tell you, that venue that they used I went in 2018. And did they still use Daytona the following year? I'm sorry?
No, because I thought 2019 was the...
The what?
I thought 2019 was the Daytona year.
I went in 2018.
They only used it twice. Yeah, so it's 18. Yeah, so 18 and 19 they used it. They're still using it.
Yeah, because in 19 they had the AEW special, but they were still using Orlando for Dreamland and for the other one.
And CEO Taku.
Yes. Yes.
We're still
that venue. They used the entire building almost.
Wish I went. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, no. What I'm saying is that they used the entire building and the hotel was across the street. Granted, there were not very... Some people had very uncomfortable times in the area. However, I think... for me, I only went from one spot to the other. I didn't stray too far away from... You know, it's sort of like if you go onto a resort in, like, Puerto Rico... Or let's say anywhere else, you don't really leave the resort. I don't really leave resorts, man. I just stay in
I don't blame you.
Stay in my room. And other than that, I mean, granted, I hope that everyone is still safe whenever they do go to other places, such as Daytona CEO. There's stories, whatever. Let people explain their own stories. I'm going everywhere with this, aren't I?
Look, there's been horror stories. I totally understand. I hope that with COVID being the way it is and people being more secure, hopefully they'll have a little bit more security than previously. And I know that's something that has come up, but there's only so far they can have security outside of the venue itself. I hope that...
Oh, right. Yeah.
Us being in Daytona, and I do plan on going when it does open up and it is safe for us to all go, and it is being supported by also the companies, I think that's going to be big for us.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a comeback. And I hope that it will be more warm, welcoming towards those who've had bad experience, and those who have not experienced it don't experience it. So that's what I'm looking forward to. But
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I agree. I think I'm not saying that it was dead. Like, the area looked dead when we were there, but like, I didn't feel like there was much going on. Now, granted, on the beach, like, there's a bunch of restaurants that were going on and a bunch of people that were there that were not from CEO, you know, that weekend. But at the same time, like, I'm sure that hotel and that whole venue was loving the fact that there is a huge event like that there. Like, Jabali has to grow. I mean, that place has to grow. And I can't imagine how many more people have been there since when in 2018 into 19. So, I mean, I do hope things like this come back. Now, there have been, like, people talking and saying that they would prefer, like, a big event like this to be one day.
Yeah, that's not happening.
What? No, not, and that's what I'm saying. Like, not like this, but I mean, like, certain majors to be maybe one day, or maybe even have their games to be one day instead of having, like, your final game is happening top eight tomorrow, so come on back and, you know, warm up all day and have to play and wait until 8 p.m. until you have to play again. And, you know, that is kind of annoying. So,
well, here's my rebuttal to that before we move on. My rebuttal to that is, I get it. Totally understandable. I don't have a problem with that. Evo does early pools and even early, you know, top eights. The problem is people don't want to wake up for a top eight at 10 o'clock. Viewership doesn't kind of kick in unless it's a big event like Evo, because our differences anyway.
Yeah,
doesn't kick up
until,
you know, XYZ time. So a lot of people are trying to hit those view counts, trying to also make sure that people are, you know, they're not killing half the day and then they're like, all right, well, now we have like all this free time. Do we tell people to just leave or, you know, one of those things? So I definitely think that's a big thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then, but then there's like, sometimes there's like a new player who's like goes 0-2 in their only game on Friday or Saturday or Friday. And yeah, you have the rest of the tournament to enjoy. And sometimes I prefer that where I can lose the first day and I'm like, yo, I got nothing to do. But others, they're just like my first tournament, I lost the first day in Street Fighter, had nothing else to do because I didn't know anybody. And I was with my brother and we're like, what do we do? And then the second day was Guilty Gear. And like my brother was ready to leave by 12 o'clock and I'm still in the Guilty Gear bracket and nobody was running the pool like good enough. But mind you, this was 2009 or 2010. And it's like, well, nobody's running this bracket. So I was just like, you know what? Let me leave. And then my brother was like, no, go finish your match. And then I come back and I'm already DQ'd. I'm like, man, this sucks, man. So, well, you know, just things like that, like for the new viewer. I'm always thinking about the new viewer, or the new attender.
Absolutely. Anyway, I totally understand that. And unfortunately, CEO is never going to do that.
That's right.
Too damn big for its own good. But still, you know, obviously Jabali's still doing other things. He's even been working on DreamHack, which we'll get into a little bit. And he still kind of doesn't know how to create this video for future ideas. Keep in mind, as Gabe said earlier, CEO Taku is, they are signed for a couple of years in the Wyndham Orlando Hotel. To me, I think that's kind of scary because they're locked in. It's not like year by year contract. So that's a really scary situation. But CEO Taku continues to grow. People continue to go to it. Obviously, we haven't had anything for COVID. So with that being said, he said it's right now at the it's under the final weekend of September, which he feels the idea is he doesn't think September is really going to be within reach of a safe event for, you know, hosting event with COVID. Like even if they had COVID waivers, they want to do it. They don't want to do it. They're just trying to be what's right what's right for the community. And they're like, look, you know, we can all highly suggest get vaccinations, get flu shots, but it is Florida, you know, and he says, I've been living here for a year. It's not that simple. And people are not that willing to do these things. It's a little wild out there. But
quick two things about it though. Well, maybe three now that you mentioned it's Florida. First is like, I'm gonna start with that one last. The other first is that yes, you're in Florida. There have been a lot of lesser restrictions. Number wise, that can all be debated. How well things are going. Number wise, I mean numbers don't lie. Number wise, they're doing somewhat good, but things like about to have WrestleMania to be 45,000 people they're aiming to have the first and second days, and people are concerned that that might be a super spreader event, even though I think they're having pods of people to be there. So, and that gets to my other point is, who's going to be the first, whoever's going to be sort of like the first tournament to go back to not full capacity, but like a certain capacity, is going to be under the microscope heavily. And I don't think it's a good idea to be the first one, so to speak. You know what I mean?
No, I totally get that.
So there's going to be there's going to be a huge magnifying glass on whoever starts first. And I don't know if you want that sort of like magnifying glass, you know? I don't know if you want that spotlight. Now I don't know. It's going to be hard until we find out like numbers across the country to be very low. You know, until then, we can safely do it. But then you're still going to have many people on with opinions saying, no, I'm not leaving my house. And maybe I'm not even trusting, you know, some people are not even trusting other people to not be sick. Like there's still a lot of uncertainty in this, so you know, yeah, words.
Yeah, well,
I forgot my third point, but that's okay.
Well, not to say that's a good or a bad thing, it, they actually took that into consideration. Yeah. And Bailey actually said, this is only this year. What if I move that September weekend to early December weekend?
Oh, I remember what I was gonna say next. Yeah.
So
I don't like cold months. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that. I don't like cold months at all. Mm-hmm. Because, I'm just going to say, I don't like cold months because in Pennsylvania, we went from summer to fall. So we never really found that line of when is outdoor dining not safe anymore. You know what I mean? So, yeah. You know, let's say somebody has an outdoor wedding, but they kept doing outdoor weddings even into the deep fall when it was a little colder and people still get sick. So it's like, they said outdoors so that, anyway, I'm not going to get into the whole science of of all of that. Sorry. just funny. It's not funny. I hope people are healthy and, you know, staying healthy and being safe. But what I'm saying is like, even in early December of having something, if maybe numbers are down, you still got other things like, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's cold months. Germs spread easier. That's all I'm saying.
So to kind of like couple all that together and finish it off,
my bad.
Jabailey goes on to kind of explain that he doesn't want to make the anime FGC think that he's trying to ruin CEO Taku by pushing it back and taking away or anything like that. He clearly just says, look, everything would return back to normal next year. CEO in June, CEO Taku in September. He's like, I just need to come up with a way to have revenue for 2022 because CEO is basically back to zero because of the past year, not having anything in Dreamland last year, which is crazy to think that such a big event is kind of taking such a big loss and going under. Even though they did the CEO online, that was all free to enter. There was nothing you had to really pay for except for maybe merch or gear or anything like that you really wanted. So Jabailey kind of made it more for the community, and people always talk bad about it, I think this is really big and this is a grand step. I think that he's still trying to keep the Florida, you know, community together. Granted, there are some events that are running offline that should probably not be, just for the safety. And you got to ask, right? Everybody's like, well, how can we be super safe going back to events if we know COVID's still kind of spread, still able to spread, still out there? There's different strands. you know, there is still going to be people who are vaccinated and people who are not going to these events, regardless whether their personal views see, you know, differently than another. But the idea is just that I really feel Jabaili is handling this appropriately during the online era. And I think that he will have to truly prove to a bigger audience that, hey, we could still have these events, we could still be safe, but do come at your own volition. It's at your own risk still.
I mean,
but you know, we hope you take care of yourself beforehand.
I got sick at Combo Breaker 2019. I literally was just hanging out, and then I developed, like, on the way home, a sore throat, and I called out of work the next day because I was just like, it wasn't it definitely wasn't a cold, but I had something and I just did not feel good. And but instead, I did other things, like get my license renewed or something, thankfully, because I had a day off, right? But it was just that I remember sleeping in the car all the way home, and my brother and my best friend are like sitting there, you know. So is it worth, in other words, you know, you have to try your best to, like, it's really at your own risk if you're going to go to one of these events. You know, even if you want, if you're double, you know, I can't imagine thinking about, oh yeah, in 2022, I want to go to my first FGC major again. And it's like, how
one of the biggest events.
Yeah, so but then people. you're like, oh my God, like, is everybody gonna, like, are we already been conditioned to, like, social distance? And of course, mask wearing is going to be going up the roof in, like, the future events, like maybe next year even. Because that's just, you know, with a lot of people, we know we've learned so much about germ spreading through the past year. You know, that where do we go from here? How do we maintain? How do events maintain? And then even in the future, when people are not, you know, feeling like they should be wearing a mask, we're getting vaccinated regularly, you know, even though, you know, it might be even safer to not mix all of this stuff up, you know, science. Man, that's tough. Let's go to the next thing.
Well, nonetheless, I think that Jabaili took the right steps into moving forward into this. Whether we see CEO in September, I mean, Anime Otaku in September, and then we see it in December, we're looking forward to seeing one or the other. And then do keep in mind, if not that, you have the CEO to look forward to down the road. So maybe COVID is clearing up to the point where we'll be able to at least get back out there and start playing again. And with that being said, if you guys have not gotten a chance to do anything pretty big or play in a bigger tournament, check out DreamHack. Right now, they've been doing an all-month tournament for all of March, and they've been going a little bit further. They're going to go a little bit further past that. So starting from March 10th, which you guys missed out, Killer Instinct has already finished up. Oh. I know Skullgirls is coming up. So is, well,
Accent Core first is Guilty tomorrow.
Gear. Yeah, Guilty Gear is tomorrow. Unfortunately, you probably won't be there. You won't hear this in time to play in it. Maybe you not will. Me. But if not, you can always catch up with Super Shoe Fighter 2 Turbo, and that is going to be on Fightcade. So you'll be able to play that and not feel like you're left out. It's all, to my knowledge, everything is free to enter. So there is still prize pools. You'll be able to do that as well. But Skullgirls is also going to be around the corner, which that is actually taking place, I believe. And I feel like I shouldn't be telling you guys this, but I believe that is the 30th. Yes. So that is the 30th. There's currently only 5 people entered. I am one of them. So if you want to come lose to me, awesome. And so I'm trying to win $125. And
which game? Skullgirls?
So I'll be playing in Skullgirls. I think everybody should enter. It is pretty much like so nobody's paying attention.
It's a Tuesday.
So, yeah.
I work nights, so nope.
Unfortunate. I can play whenever I want. But yeah, if you guys have the time, definitely check it out. It'll be really fun. Something to support the DreamHack community. The community is throwing it together. I believe Jabaili's behind it also. So this is kind of nice. You know, we have these events. And keep in mind, guys, we have a lot more events coming up. You know, there's going to be the Wii Play for Mortal Kombat. There's going to be also the Wii Play for Soul Calibur 6. So there's a lot of stuff really, really gearing up that people should pay attention to. And Unfortunately, I know the Wii Play ones are a little bit more invitational-ish. So grind, guys. Keep playing. Yeah. If you're a competitor, keep playing. Put your content out there. Make sure people know who you are. Make sure you know you stay relevant as a competitor. And just get that slot. That's really all I can say.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
And this could be sort of a focus attacky. That's it for the randoms, more or less, right?
Yes.
So this is more of a focus attacky kind of tangent. I wanted to go back to that cosine joke earlier with the trigonometry. So a bit of a tangent here. Do you think events could actually in the future go from, you know, if they wanted to do in person, maybe do partial online for those that either can't make it, don't want to make it, or just don't trust it and still feel like good from playing at home? I mean, because you even still have online warriors at home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so, but then would people take advantage of that and be like, yo, scrubs are going to be at home. I'm going to enter that home tournament. You know what I'm saying? Or instead, would they stay at a, would they be like, you know what? I want to go. Let's have the people that go and show up tournament. Or maybe they'll stick with the one because it's free and the other one because they don't have to travel. You know what I mean?
No, I get it. Mm. So there's a few options here. The prime option you're going to see is only offline. Everybody's going to come by. Everybody's going to play that can enter, that can actually be there. That's a given. That makes sense. It's like normal days. The other option, you run two separate tournaments, right? An online one, an offline one.
Yeah.
You support both the communities. Online, obviously, you're not going to get the same experience offline, so you're not going to be paying about $75 to $85 to secure a venue and help support that. But what they can do is what a lot of other groups like NLBC and whatnot have been doing is say like, oh, you know, $10 to support the event itself to be run. Or, you know, $15. Usually it's $5 or $10. And then you put in $5 or $10 of your own money for the event that you want to play in. So you're spending maximum $15 and then you just sit in your chair and play. A lot of people are going to crowd around that. And I feel like making an online tournament like that is very negative when you have the offline tournament, unless they're weeks apart.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Two separate tournaments. Same game, separate tournaments, separate days, you know?
Now, my thing is, if you enter and you, I don't know if they could do this. If you enter and you lose, I mean, you win offline, you cannot play online. Right. I think there needs to be some balance to give the people who wanted to play that can, or hey, maybe you want them to get the full experience.
Or even like online, and then it's like a qualifier for the real one if you're willing to come out.
No, that's the third option is. Mm-hmm. Just don't do anything offline yet. Do everything as qualifiers, kind of like how they did with a lot of other events, like
Capcom Cup was going to do.
Dragon Ball has done it. Do the invitational. Do the part that builds for the invitational. Take the top 8 players of that whole bracket and just say, guys, we're going to fly them out. We're going to secure a specific type of venue. Doesn't have to be a huge venue, but somewhere where it's not too small. It's just the right size where they can do a production and really put on a show. Fly these 8 players out. If you don't fly them out, get them to fly out. If they can't fly out, then the next person in the line can fly out. That's just the best way I can see it. Or do multiple tournaments leading up to this invitational. Anyone can do open tournaments. So if you say you have 8 slots, you do 8 tournaments. They have to be ready as a CEO. So it's kind of hard to do that. And it's hard to want them to do that. But I think that's the most efficient way without anybody being left out in the game, and the community and also the TO provider can still make that happen.
All right. So besides that, I saw that our homie Big Scythe had a question out there. I saw that you answered it.
Oh, I'll answer it again.
Yeah, let's go ahead and let me ask the question for all of the listeners. So he asked, fellas, is there room for a show in the FGC with the level of debate like this? So in this, he is talking about an NFL clip. He says, we have players, we have games, we even have some controversy from time to time. is this something obtainable? So let me click here. This is like, which one is this show? Let me see. Speak for Yourself on YouTube.
It's a good 22-minute clip.
So yeah, it's a Marcellus Wiley explains why Dak deserves, that's Dak Shepard, Dak Prescott, that's an actor, what am I talking about? Dak Prescott from the Cowboys, his record-breaking contract, NFL, Speak for Yourself. So it seems like they're having more of a discussion over, does Dak Prescott deserve record-breaking contract, you know, which is 160, my goodness, 160 million, four-year deal. I mean, granted, you had, if you want to get into NFL real quick, you had what's the Eagles quarterback who just got traded? Carson Wentz got traded over to, I believe, in Indianapolis, or is it? Or somewhere over there, Midwest. Poor guy, I miss him a lot. But he wasn't doing anything for us. Let me stop. NFL. Okay. Meza, what is your answer?
So I did answer his question on Twitter, but I'm gonna re-answer it again.
Yes.
Because I think it's very, very critical people understand why my answer works like this.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot do that yet. And the reasoning why I say we can't is we don't have two heavily involved analyst / competitive player, or even someone who's a very, you need two contrasting or maybe more mindsets that can sit behind a production that has to either come from a company that's not connected to Capcom, Arxis, any of them. It has to be an outside company, kind of like how ESPN is, where they can bottle everything, sit and really spitball everything that's happening. The problem also is our orgs do not trade players. So realistically, we either pick up players that are free agents, or we release agents, release players into free agency. The problem is we never see a trade, so you'll never see that. We never see the income, so the contract. Now, that would have to be shown. So there's a lot of little things, little nuances like that, from, you know, how many players are on a team? Do we have access to know who's on that team? Because maybe an org doesn't have a website up. There's so many little things like this that hinder us. And it's like, let's say we got Sajam and Tasty Steve to do it, right? Or Vicious, just two people who are knowledgeable.
I would say, well, I'm sorry. So go ahead. I don't know why I just felt like cutting you off. That's crazy. you weren't even done yet.
Let's say we had someone like Sajam and Tasty Steve. They have very good knowledge. They're reputable people. Can you put Tasty Steve in appropriate attire? A suit and tie? I'm pretty sure he could do it, but would you want to see Tasty Steve in a suit and tie? Probably not. Let's say we got Ultra Tasty David Steve and
Sajam. Got the wristbands from the dude from Tekken, whoever his name is.
He has all the beads. Now, if we can find two people who are capable of doing that, breaking down, oh, you know, evil geniuses, they've gone through this contract, spending maybe like, you know, $50,000 on getting, you know, reacquiring Justin Wong. That's not happening, you know, stuff like that. If we can have people who can do that, and then both people can have good contrast and good, you know, wordplay with bouncing off of each other, then we have a show. But the problem is to run that and to have that functionality is almost nearly impossible until the back end of the FGC gets dealt with, meaning they get situated where we have all these little parts and pieces put into place where me and you went on the show and we're running that show, an outside source is able to gain that material and that knowledge of how much somebody's getting paid. Are they willing to do trades? Are people getting released? Like this information has to be available to the public, whether it be on an open website or through people. Usually we're the ones who tell people through podcasts. And, you know, there is even this whole, well, what if, you know, this takes over podcasting and hurts podcast? It could and it won't at the same time. And I say that because, yes, it will hurt podcasting because people are going to tune into a show that's relevant and current all the time. Yeah. The problem with that is with that being said, podcasts won't fade out. They'll still be like us where you have good information, but we're kind of more focused on updating you guys, keeping it fun, keeping it underground, keeping it very concise. Where you look at mm-hmm. something like No Trills, you'll never see
No Frills podcast.
You'll never see the same concept as ours or as an ESPN, you know, analyst board. So,
okay,
overall,
yeah,
it's not unforeseeable in the future. It is not undoable, or rather, not obtainable. But it has to go through a process first, and that process starts with us really opening the floodgates for esports to the point where we're at maybe not League of Legends status, maybe a little bit of Overwatch status. Oof. These teams like UIU, you know, TSM, maybe they create a team that's under the umbrella of TSM or UIU, but then gets outsourced as a state team, like how we had Philly Fusion for Overwatch. You know, that's the only way we're really going to see this structure come together is having a proper league, not having an open format as much. And that's where the FGC starts to feel a little bit of a falter. And that's why we're going to struggle with a concept of having a show like this, because only going to talk about people who are signed, people who are free agents that are feasible to get signed, and how much money, all these things. If those things aren't available to us, if stats from 6 years ago is not available to all of us, then we just, there's nothing. We can't have the casting go looking for the information. It has to be right in front of them.
So, okay. All right. I see. However, I feel like the question is in such a little bit of a different angle, whereas it's not more related to... Now, I'm glad you went there regarding pricing and costs and things like that. I feel like it's more of a, can we have a bit... are there things that we can actually debate? Like, does this player debates that, you know, Smash Brothers is a fighting game. This player debates that it's not. Or even, I just thought of this one right now. East Coast versus West Coast. Which is actually better?
They still do tournaments like that.
In what fighting games?
Mm-hmm. There's so much to talk about. I mean, like,
yeah,
there will always be so much. It just comes down to whether the community is ready to make that jump and really, really give it an opportunity.
Yeah, like right now I have this on mute and I'm watching the video and I see one dude has all his papers scattered and it looks like he's defending something. The one dude on the right, he is very passionate in mute and he's talking about how, he's just talking and he's got his little bit of papers and he's got all his stats in his head. It's just funny how I see that. But like, you know, I like how you brought in, you know, Tasty Steve and Sejam. Now, they're both more like West Coast-y players, I believe. I do believe, right? They are? Yeah. Now, I see a big difference between a Marvel player on the West and a Marvel player on the East Coast. A Marvel player on the West Coast literally just swings until they hit you. Like, that's been my... and that's more of a new Marvel player type thing. Now, they literally swing. There's no neutral. There's like Tron Bonds that literally just air dash and smack and then go into Frank West and win. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, that's just me complaining. But, and then when you come to the East Coast, there's a lot of, now, Zero does that all the time. He'll hit you. Midwest, they love Virgil too. I mean, I'm not Virgil, Zero too. And Zero just pop, buster, do the thing. But that takes some crazy amounts of brain power and even like confirming off a crazy weird hit. What I'm trying to say is there are a lot of dynamics that you can find to debate about. And I think in essence, like to get a viewership and an audience big enough to be able to either agree and disagree or pick a side or even attach some more comments into like the comments part of a YouTube channel. I think it is a good idea to sort of grow, but I don't think there can be, like, you have to leave it open for even people to discuss, like, the conversation doesn't end here. What do you think? You know, because there can never be a clear winner when it comes to, like, such a debate like that in, you know, East and West, or smash a fighting game or not a fighting game, but it's in the FGC, right? It is a fighting game. Or even, I kind of go back to this, there's a segment on Parts Funknown, which is a wrestling segment. I'm going back to wrestling again. Here I go. Parts Funknown has this segment that they call Is This Wrestler Good? And so, for instance, one of the last ones was, is Edge actually that good? And Edge just recently came back from an 11-year hiatus, and, you know, they checked out all his WrestleMania matches on a star review thing, and they're like, his matches were all good, or was it his opponents that were good? You know, that's a good debate we can have. We can say, is Punk actually that good? Or do players just have the jitters when they play him? You know, you want to debate that, you know? Things like that could always be debated upon. So I think it's a good idea. I mean, if, hey, Big Sai, if you want to run with that idea and make a YouTube channel before I do, go ahead. No. So with that being said, I think, is that, you got anything else to add to maybe a question such as the one that Saif has brought, Senior?
I don't think I have so much a question. I just think that
thoughts.
I just think overall it was a really good question by Big Saif. I would like to see people really think about this one, because this could be where we see our potential future with having maybe Maximilian and someone like Sejam on a panel.
A panel.
And they're doing these controversial type of, well, do people deserve this? Do people deserve that? I think we just need to start building up our community first to get to that point, but it's very doable. Definitely. To answer his question in very few words, as he said, is there room for a show in the FGC with this level of debate like this? Yes, there's absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. It's just who we have do it and how we get to that point.
Right. Yep. I think that's a good nutshell point of view on it. Let us know what you think. I mean, Meza, where can they go to let us know where they... that where, I mixed up all my words. Talk about mix-ups. Is Gogeta a good mix-up character or not? You know, that's a good debate these days. But you guys can definitely let us know in a Discord. And we'll talk about that at the end of the show, which I believe we have reached, have we not?
Yes, we have.
All right. So take us out, Mez.
So with that being said, guys, thank you so much for listening. I almost wanted to say watching, because I know we do both, but not this week. But thank you guys for listening. Truly appreciate it. Without you guys, we kind of don't do this, and we have no purpose for it. But with that being said, you can always check out both our social medias. I'll just tell you, you could check out Crash Tag. His is Crash Tag.
Crash Tag VS.
VS.
Okay, is there an underscore in there? Let me
know. No, he changed it. Crash Tag VS. Okay. On Twitter. You can check me out, of course, at MezaFGC on Twitter, also YouTube, pretty much every platform you could think of, Twitch as well. Don't forget, you could check out Static Gorilla.
Yep.
Okay. Just double checking, because, you know, we're always changing stuff to make it, you know, more accommodating for everybody else. But make sure you check it out. Static Gorilla on Twitch, YouTube, you know, Twitter, all the above. My man is always playing something on Twitch, so definitely check that out. Don't forget, guys, to check out our personal Double Tap FGC @ for Twitter, where you guys can actually get to talk to us personally, not personally, but through the Double Tap FGC tweets, and just see if there's something interesting. Sometimes we tweet out some random stuff that's just funny, or sometimes we agree with SNK on some silly stuff, or Arby's, depending how they're doing. But definitely check that out as well. And that's, once again, Double Tap FGC. Don't forget also to check out at the MASH Network for MTB, so you guys can also tweet to them and ask for things that you might want that's new to be on the MASH Network, or maybe more stuff for us to do. Don't forget to also join the MASH Those Buttons community Discord, where we're also in there for where you can talk to us personally, which is discord.me/MASHThoseButtons. And just kind of join in with the community. Get into these community questions.
Join also, the conversation.
Also, don't forget, guys, comment and questions. We really love it when you're on Spotify. You know, you go through iTunes, whatever you go through, and you drop those comments, you drop those, you know, messages. We really, really do read them. We take them into consideration, and we do try to work on what we can. So definitely do that.
And even we even try to feature them on the show if we get to see them. And good or bad, you know, let us know. We will bring it up and say, hey, this is cool. This was weird. And we can address it. At the same time, yes, join a conversation. I forgot what I was going to say, but I love to join a conversation. Also, yeah, conversations guys, are nice.
Also, guys, what else is also nice is when you share it with anybody and everybody. Remember, we don't do crazy promotional stuff. We just kind of have you guys word of mouth, kick it to your friends, kick it to people you might know be interested, even if it's a family member or a distant relative or friend. You never know who they might connect it with and just talk about. It's something that we love to do. Something we want to share with you guys. So definitely share. But also, don't forget, guys, stay tuned after the show to hear more about our other shows that are on the podcast, that are also all doing podcasts or doing live shows. We truly appreciate showing them love, too, just like they show us love. So make sure you guys go check them out afterwards. But with that being said, I'm done. I'm ready to kind of get sleep and get mixed to sleep. That's pretty much how I feel.
Yeah, I'm going to go play some more video games. I'm just waiting for Guilty Gear Strive, man. That's what
everybody's waiting for. Yeah. But if you guys are also waiting for Guilty Gear Strive, we hope to see you guys soon when that comes out. And before that, many, many more episodes. Have a good day, guys.
Oh.
Or night.
Yep. Have a good one. See ya.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/Discord.